Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. William Winkenwerder, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs in the U.S. Department of Defense. And joining us in our conversation is Mike Perry.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned HIPAA. That's something, as you said, impacts both the civilian and military world. Could you speak to that in more detail, please?
Sure. For our health plan, TRICARE, we have implemented the HIPAA standards with regard to electronic transaction, things like submitting claims electronically, and we are compliant with that. With respect to the medical care side, not the insurance side, but the medical care side, we've made many improvements to many of our information systems and business practices in order to implement the HIPAA standard of electronic transactions, being able to do billing electronically rather than with paper. That's one of the requirements. And then there's certain ways that claims need to be submitted in a standard format and so forth. So really, both sides of our system, the insurance side and the direct care provision of care side, have had to make changes. And we're coming along. We're doing, we think, well on all of those fronts. We've also, I might add, added a privacy officer for TRICARE, elevating the importance of that whole issue. And we've obviously had to conduct a considerable amount of training and education for our staff, both with TRICARE and within the direct care system of the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. So it's been a big set of activities that we've done, but we believe we're on track.
Cost containment remains a driving focus within many government agencies, but you also have the added challenge of access to care as well as quality of care. How do you manage all three of these challenges?
Well, it's part of maintaining the balance that is required for any superior top-flight healthcare system. It's a balance of cost and access and quality. I have a view that that spending more money does not necessarily always lead to better outcomes or better quality. It's a matter of how the dollars are spent and the return and on those expenditures and the value that's created. There are a number of different ways that we employ to seek to measure our performance. We've implemented a process called the Balance Scorecard, now widely used, I think, in the private sector and also in government. But it has a set of metrics or measures for different elements, whether it relates to customer satisfaction, service, clinical quality, or things that would relate to the money side, our efficiency and productivity. And so we have a scorecard of about 25 to 30 different measures, and we look at that every month, and we evaluate whether we think we're in the red or the yellow or the green category, green being good and red being bad and yellow being somewhere in between. And that helps us keep on track for meeting our goals. So we continually are raising our targets with respect to things like customer satisfaction. We regularly measure satisfaction among our beneficiaries, both with the health plan and with the care side. And it's our goal to continually improve that satisfaction and to make determinations as to why people are not, if they're not satisfied, you know, what is driving that and then how do we fix it. So it's a process of what I call continual improvement. It's certainly a process that I employed in my private sector leadership experiences, and I think it works.
DOD doesn't live in a vacuum, and it's my understanding you work closely with the Veterans Administration, specifically on something called the Joint Strategic Planning Initiative.
Yes.
Would you be able to enlighten us on that, please?
Absolutely. The relationship between the Department of Defense Military Health System and the Veterans Administration, or the VA health system, is very important. We have, in my judgment, a very productive and collaborative relationship that's grown stronger over the last couple of years because of a formalized process that we've established to meet involving the senior leadership of the VA health system, Dr. Bob Roswell, who's the Undersecretary for Health, myself, and then even people more senior, the Deputy Secretary of the Veterans Administration, formerly was a Leo McKay, and then Undersecretary at DOD, Dr. David Chu, for personnel and readiness. He is the undersecretary. So we have a group that meets regularly. We've developed a strategic plan that's directed towards how these two large systems who have different missions, ours being the missions that I described, the VA's mission more focused around care of veterans, obviously not care of active duty and their families, but care of veterans, focus many times on disability and more longer term and chronic conditions of retirees and that population. But obviously there's overlap, and one of the important objectives of this process is to ensure as best we can a seamless transition between the care and the care system of the military and the VA. And so we've undertaken a number of things to improve that transition. For example, in the area of information, we want to make all of that medical and clinical information that is collected during the course of one's military service available to the VA, so that the VA doctor or clinician doesn't have to start all over again, that there's a seamless transfer of information, and we're beginning to do that. We also are trying to standardize some of our business practices so that we can coordinate our actions more effectively, paying for services, organizing services, and so forth. And then finally, in certain locations, we're doing some pilot projects where we actually do a joint venture together or have facilities co-located or use one facility to care for both populations. Obviously, that can't happen everywhere, but where we do have facilities together, we think it only makes sense to figure out how we can coordinate between us and really utilize the assets of both systems more effectively rather than being duplicative. And the Congress has taken an interest in this. The president, I might add, was very interested in this whole issue and had convened early in his tenure a commission on veterans health care that issued a report a few months ago commending us to, or suggesting, I should say, that we move in many of the directions I just described. And so their work was helpful. They worked with us, the commission members did. And so that's where we're headed. And I think we've made a lot of progress. There's more opportunity ahead.
During the last TRICARE conference, General Peak spoke of the importance of patient-centric infosphere. Could you explain this to us?
General Peak is the Surgeon General of the United States Army. And I think he was referring to the fact that the focus of our care and care system needs to be on the patient. In other words, thinking about what does a patient need for this concern or this illness or this condition, looking at the system through the eyes of the patient. We as doctors sometimes have a hard time understanding how the patient is seeing things. And so much often is taken for granted because of differences in knowledge or understanding of what the patient is going through. And that was what General Peak was talking about. And I think the Army Medical Corps under his leadership is taking a number of important steps to enhance that patient-centered focus. And that was the thrust of his comments.
You mentioned the Army. Each of the three services seem to be moving in a certain direction. Have those particular services introduced any new technology that would help you capture this longitudinal medical record that you spoke about before?
Absolutely. All three services are working together and will be utilizing this one computerized electronic record that I described earlier. In the deployed situation, each of the services has developed a separate system, but it producing much of the same information to monitor people's health when they're in the deployed environment. And the Army has a system, the Navy has a system, the Air Force has a system. But what we've been able to do is to pull the data from all of those three systems together to create a uniform database of information. We implemented that in an electronic format. And we implemented that on initial pilot basis for the first time last January with the Iraq conflict. And so for the first time, we had electronic information that was medical surveillance information. In other words, things like what were the rates of certain conditions, whether it was a gastrointestinal illness or a fever or different injuries, et cetera, across the forces that were deployed. And this is more than just a help to the medical people. It can be a help and an early clue for a commander of all those forces to know that something's not going right. And the system was implemented for both of those reasons. We were sensitive, obviously, at that time about the possibility of use of chemical or biological weapons. And so this type of surveillance system is one capability that could give an early warning. And we were glad to be able to implement it on a limited basis. We're seeking to expand that, and we will expand it in the months and years ahead.
Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Dr. William Winkenwerner of the Department of Defense. This is the Business of Government Hour.